grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about the last temptation of Christ in the wilderness according to Matthew chapter 4. So what was the last temptation that the devil gave to Jesus in the wilderness? And how did Jesus answer the devil, and how should we answer the devil? Now this is very, very important for us because as Jesus was tempted, we're all going to be tempted, really, in the same way. The devil really doesn't have a lot of new tricks. He just uses the old ones because they work best. And so we're going to have to face the same temptation as Christ. So let's take a look today at what Jesus did and how he answered the devil and how we should answer the devil on the same temptation. So to understand what that temptation is, let's take a look and start just by reading in Matthew chapter 4. Here I'm going to start at verse 1. I read there. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So that's temptation one. Jesus wins round one. Hooray. Good job, Jesus. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written," Psalm 91, "he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God," quoting Deuteronomy 6. So Jesus wins again, hooray, quoting the word of God. Now we're on to the one that I'd like to look with you at today, the third and last temptation of Christ in the wilderness according to Matthew 4. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Deuteronomy 6 again. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So what was the last temptation of the devil to Jesus in the wilderness according to Matthew chapter 4? Took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. "All these I will give to you, Jesus, if you'll but do one thing, bow down and worship me." So what is this but the temptation was to gain something here, right, from the devil? The entire world. "I'll give you all things. It shall all be yours, Jesus, and I'll give it to you right now." Instead of you waiting on God to give you some such blessings in some future world that you don't even know if it's going to happen ever or not, "I'll give you everything right now, and I'm going to give it to you for free." You know, this is exactly what God had promised to Jesus for a future world, right? You know, in Psalm 2, we read that Jesus was already promised all things from the Father. For it says here, "I will tell of the decree of the Lord," Psalm 2. "And he said to me, 'You are my son, today I've begotten you.'" So this is the Father speaking to his son Jesus in prophecy here. And then the Father says to the son, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." So God promised to Christ, to Jesus, all things, the dominions, the kingdom, the world, everything that there is, all of its treasures and pleasures of a future world, the next one to come. But the devil is saying, "No, no, no, don't wait on God for that. You don't know if it's even coming. Get everything right now from me and for free." For what God is promising to you, Jesus, is ultimately a future one. You're not even sure it's coming, he might say, and to get there, it's very hard. You've got to go through hardships, sufferings, ultimately shedding your blood, a cross, death, to get there. This is hard. Give up on that, Jesus. Get it all from me right now, easy and for free. So what is he promising him here? It's the world. And what does that mean? It's glory, power, kingship, the adoration of the peoples, the obedience of the nations, He's giving them all of the pleasures of the world, all of the treasures and riches of the world, everything that the world has to offer for the joys of this present life. Jesus, I will give you all of these right now. Not something you have to wait for. Not some future world. I'll give it to you today. Not after a cross. Not after suffering. Not after blood. Not after death. Or any of these things. Possessions. Kingdoms. Titles. Lands. Fame. Authority. And riches beyond your wildest imaginations right now. For free with all that. Without all that blood and stuff. And death. I'll give it to you right now. If you'll but worship me. So in other words, what is the devil saying here? He's saying a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. You don't even know if the two in the bush are coming, Jesus. I got a bird in the hand right now. I'll give you this life. I'll give you this world. Everything. For it's all been delivered to me and I can give it to you. I give it to whom I will. You only have to do one thing. Just one thing. And it's easy, really, frankly. It's super easy, simple. Only this. Just one easy thing. Bow the knee to me, Satan, as Lord, and it shall all be yours. Now, that was the temptation. Do you think that that was a real deal that the devil was giving to him? Was it a real bargain? You know, let's make a deal. You ever see that show? Do you want what's behind door number one or door number two? Devil's offering him door number one, what you can see now, rather than what you can't see behind door number two. Was this a real deal? Could the devil have given Jesus the entire world, all of its kingdoms and glories and pleasures? And would the devil have given to Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, its pleasures and its riches for free if he but worshipped him? What do you think? Well, actually, I'll answer that. The devil was truly giving to him all of these things because he owned them all at that time. The devil actually still owns all the kingdoms of the world. He has the power to give these things to Jesus, and I believe he would have. Jesus doesn't even argue with the devil about that one, does he? For Jesus calls the devil in John chapter 12 the ruler of this world. Now is the judgment of this world, says Jesus. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. So Jesus calls the devil the ruler of this world. Is the devil the ruler of this world? He is. Jesus confirms it, as does Paul. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, in their case, in other words, of the unbelievers, the god of this world, God little g, the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. So, the devil is the ruler of this world, still presently. He's the god of this world, God little g, a pretender, a usurper of this world. Ephesians 2 calls him the prince of the power of the air. Does the devil have power? He's the one, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, says Paul. He's a prince. He's also, Peter calls him, a roaring lion seeking someone to devour as he prowls about the earth. So a lion is a king. He is the prince of darkness. And one more, 1 John 5, John says, we know that we are of God and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. It's under his authority. So does the devil then, would you say, own everything, have the kingdoms of the world to give to Christ if he bowed the knee? Yeah, he does. And would the devil have kept his end of the bargain, held up his part of the deal? Would the devil have come through for Jesus if he just bowed the knee and called him Lord? Would the devil have actually kept that deal and given everything to Jesus for free if he but bowed the knee? I believe he would have. You know why? Because he had a lot of skin in this game. The devil knew that Christ had come to destroy him. 1 John 3, he comes to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus does. And so, if the devil could beat him here and make this deal, and Jesus bows the knee, then he escapes. And he can live forever, keep owning these things. But if Jesus wins, then he knows he's dead. and his works are destroyed. And so he had a lot of skin in this game. So not only does he have the power to offer to Jesus this real deal, but he also, I believe, would have kept his end of the bargain and given him the world. All of his glories, titles, lands, famine, adoration, kingship, every pleasure that this world has to offer, this present age, if he would bow down the knee and worship me, Satan. That's what he is after. So that was the temptation. What would he give to Jesus again? The world and its glory. How? Not by hardship, a cross, and death, but easy, for free. When would he do it? Not in a future world, but right now, Jesus. You can have it today, not later, but at once. It could all be his. And what did Jesus need to do? Just one easy thing. Just bow that knee, Jesus, and it shall all be yours. So what a fiendish fiend the devil is. Amen? He is tricky, and he is called the tempter. And he did it here, trying to get Jesus. But let's now bring it a little closer home to us. Does the devil tempt each of us, you and me, in the same way? Does he tempt even every man with the same temptation? Just bow the knee to me, and I will give you the world. You can have everything in this life. I'll give you all of its pleasures. I believe he tempts not only Jesus, but each of us, and even every man. The same temptation. And what does that look like? Well, he says, why do you wait on God for some future world? I mean, he's promised it here, but you don't even know if that's really coming. There's a closed door over here. I'll give you what you see before your eyes. Take this present gift, and you don't even know if that future one's coming. Buy it now. Buy for me. Let's make a deal, he says. Follow me, and I'll give you the world. For why would you want to wait for a future world as Christians? Why go through all the pain and suffering that it is to be a Christian to get there? Why lay down your life in sacrificial service? Why not go like the rest of the world? They're going after fun, right? The world goes for the joys of this life. You're missing out. Get that now. It's a bird in the hand. It's better than two in a bush. And you can have it at once, right now, today. Just go for it. Buy and get it from me. Go for possessions. Go for honors. Go for titles of this world. Go for lands and an empire here. Go for rank and pleasures. Go for treasures and even just fun and travel and adventure. Live for the joys that this life has to give you. Come on, it's a better deal, he says. Bow the knee to me and it shall all be yours. Now that's in general how he tempts us, but what does that look like in real life? Well, you know, usually when the devil tempts human beings in this way, people don't even know it's the devil tempting them, right? He's a very sneaky, crafty snake. He hides behind the corners. He's a villain hiding in the shadows. He just whispers to you. And in your mind, you feel these cravings, these desires. Yeah, I do want to live for this world. It's beautiful. It's got good things to give me. You have this craving to live for the joys of this life. Again, go after money. Go after possessions. Go after whatever you can get in this life of its pleasures. Houses, homes, lands, titles, ranks, sex. That's a great promise. Oh, you can have as much fun as you want. Just go for it. Enjoy. You only go around once, after all. Or if you like adventure, I've got that one too for you. Or travel. I've got a big fair here. What will you buy? Many things. I'll give you the world. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You know, for Christians, sometimes the devil will tempt us in ways that don't even seem like two wrong decisions. I know when I was considering becoming a pastor, I was sailing up on the Windjammers, up in Maine, and I intended to do that the rest of my life. But then I felt a call from God, lay down your life and give as a pastor. So I thought, I got these two options here. They're both, neither one's sin. I can do either one righteously, but the idea was on the one hand, I can sail, which I love to do. I can wake up to fresh mornings in Maine and see the stars at night. I can feel all the fresh air. I can have great and enjoyable food, probably a life of much greater ease. I'll just be looking after myself and a boat, and it'll be fun, and you'll have a lot of great times. You can enjoy the things the world has to give you and explore coastlands and lands and enjoy the freedom of the outdoors with honor and title of being a captain and all that stuff it affords. It'll be great. Or I can give up all of that from this world and lay down my life to give rather than to take, to offer rather than to seize and grasp, and to just give up the world and the outdoor adventure to serve as a pastor. Frankly, in the end, God gave me both. But at the time, I said, well, you know what? I got an eternity to enjoy coastlands and sail and explore the creation. I've only got one little tiny whisper of time to lay down my life and make an impact for Christ and save souls. And so, you know, I chose that one and went in that direction. But it's an everyday temptation to me. Well, I'd really rather be outside sometimes, but no, this is more important. I want to give it up to serve. And we're all called to the same thing as Christians. Amen? We're called to lay down our lives, not grasp this world, not seek our pleasures here. Even though God gives us good things to enjoy with Thanksgiving here, we can do that. But where is your heart? Is it in heaven? Is that where your treasure is? Or in this world? Are you living for the worlds to come promised to you, or to the glories and pleasures of this life? I chose to be a pastor, and I said, God, I think it's the better choice. Give me the victory. Grant me success. But it's a daily temptation. That's for Christians. For unbelievers who are already bent on serving this world and getting what they have from it, the devil comes more out in the open, and he tempts them and makes deals with them. Do you know that it is said by some that John Lennon of the Beatles made a pact with the devil on December 27th, 1960, some claim, to serve the devil's agenda if only he will get in return the old standbys of the world, money, girls, and fame. Well, it's said that after he made that agreement, entered that deal, that very night on December 27th, 1960, for the first time, up until then, the Beatles were really not getting anywhere. That night, the girls went crazy. They stormed the stage, and they stormed the stage every concert they ever had after that. And did he get what was the deal was? Yeah, he got money, fame, girls, everything the world has to offer for about 20 years. They say the contract was 20 years until on December 8th, 1980, he was shot and murdered and fell down dead. But he got what he was after, actually. For a little while, the devil gave it to him. Other rock stars claim to have done the same, even openly. We know that. Bob Dylan and AC/DC claim to have made pacts with the devil to get where they were. You know, certain Hollywood stars, it's said also. Politicians, do you think they make deals with the devil? Some world billionaires, businessmen? Where do they get all their money? Where do they get all their power? These people aren't talented. If they serve the devil's agenda, will he not promote them and give them also the world, some of them? You know, the worst scoundrels of all in this? Clergymen, people who wear the cloth. A pastor or a bishop who's a turncoat on Jesus and wants to gain the world, do you think he could make a pact with the devil, at least unwittingly, and he get all things as well? Don't preach on homosexuality. Don't call abortion a sin. Don't ever mention God's wrath or hell to come or faith in Jesus Christ to be saved, and just preach love and good deeds and I'll set you up, says the devil. In fact, if you're really good little boys and girls as clergymen, I might even let you wear a big pointy hat and you can be like a kid that goes to Burger King and feels really special like it's your big day. You can be a bishop. So, is that not also selling your souls to gain the world? It's the same temptation that the devil gave to Jesus, the same temptation he gives to me and to you, the same temptation he gives to all men. Buy from me this world. Buy for me this life, its pleasures. Don't wait on God for a future world. Don't lay down your life for future rewards. and treasures in heaven by your good deeds here. No, get what you can now, because again, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Make a deal, and you'll get it at once, he says. So which way will you go? Which will you choose? Live for this world and its trappings? Get your cake here and eat it too? Or wait for the promise of God, the world's to come, and set your heart upon that? Well, as we consider the answer to that question, is it a good or a bad deal the devil's giving in this temptation? Neil's shaking his head. No, what's bad about this deal? Well, it makes you a slave of the devil. It sets you against God. It's evil, yeah. Any other downsides? Well, it is only for a little while. Yeah, you get a good deal for a few minutes, a few days. Just ask John Lennon if you could dig him up from the grave and ask him how's that going for him. It was great for a little time, but it doesn't last long. It comes with a quick expiration date. If you want to live for this world, you will not be able to hold fast to this world. It'll slip through your fingers. Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, "For what does it profit a man if he to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" As it also says in the other gospel, if he forfeits his soul, what gain do you have for living for this world? For going after the money and titles and lands and pleasures, etc. here, what's the profit? Because you're going to have to give it up very quickly, because you're all going to die. Man cannot abide in his pomp. He's like the beasts that perish. And we also know that these things do not follow you down to the grave. You must leave them all behind to another. So if you were to live for this world, you know what that's really like? It's kind of like going out and getting an ice cream on a hot summer day and it melts in your hand before you can even eat it. Or do you ever have cotton candy? You buy it, it looks like food, you put it in your mouth, and before you can take a bite, it's dissolved, it's disappeared, it's no more. Not only is your life passing away quickly, it's not worth to go for this world in that respect, but this world itself is passing away, says the scripture. Shortly, Peter says, to be destroyed by fire, as it was in the days of Noah with water. It's a dream, this world is. A nightmare, really, in a sense, an illusion, and a mirage. Why would we go after, as Christians, this world, this life, its rewards, its prizes, when this world itself is sinking? So when the devil gives us temptation, what he's really offering you is a ticket on the Titanic. Come, who will buy? I have a great ship. You can have free food for as much as you want at the buffet. I'll give you some extra passes here to use the Lido deck or Acapulco deck, or you can go shoot some shuffleboard or something. It'll all be free. You can all have it right now. Buy the ticket. Would you buy a ticket on the Titanic, knowing where it is going? Shortly to be plunged into the icy depths of the ocean? Jesus says, don't buy that. Don't see through the devil's trick. Don't live for this world. Its rewards. You're passing away. The world is passing away. What do you gain if you gain the whole world and then forfeit your soul by bowing the knee to Satan to get it? It's all going to fly from you, and you'll be bankrupt and killed in the end. Rather, Jesus says, buy from me a ticket on my ship called salvation, heading to the world to come, which has joys eternal, its pleasures forever. Seek your treasures there by your good deeds here, your reward in the world to come, in the bright joy of your Father in glory, because that world is permanent, and you'll have it forever. So, how should we respond to the devil's temptation? Well, what did Jesus do? How did he respond? What did he say to the devil? What did he do? Well, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus answered the devil like this. He says, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." In other words, the first word was "be gone" in the Greek, upage, which means literally, get out of my sight. You are a scoundrel. You are a traitor. You are a trickster. You are a villain. You are enemy of all righteousness. You enemy of God. I see through your schemes, you devil. "Be gone," shouted Christ. "I'll have nothing from you." Good answer, right? And then he quoted the scripture at him. "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Every time the devil tempts you, whether it be this temptation or another, whip out the word of God and say, "It is written." For it's the sword of the Spirit, which is able to make the devil bleed. You know, he told the devil to get gone here, but if you read James, it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." The word for flee there is phugo, which in the Greek, which means the devil ran away from danger out of fear. When you whip out this book and say, "It is written," the devil, the dragon himself, knows he can be cut and killed and bleed. So he will run away. Just whip out that word, and Christ did, the righteous king, the prince of heaven. He conquered the devil here, and he went on his way, the angels refreshing him, it says, all the way to the cross, to death, for our salvation, and set us free. Hooray? Hooray for that. So, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Was there two in the bush for Jesus? If the devil is, let's make a deal, a salesman, is there anything behind door number two? Or is it better to have the bird in the hand, this world? Well, what did Jesus get in the end? The door was opened to him, and he was given the two birds that were hidden, namely the kingdom, after the day's battle, after the cross, in the world to come. The promise, "Ask of me and I'll make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession," God gives and gave to Jesus. For Hebrews 10 says, "When Christ offered for all times a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool for his feet." He says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." And again, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." In other words, all that the devil wanted to give him in terms of an earthly kingdom and in an evil way, he got from God in a righteous way and permanently at the proper time. And the promise, friends, is the same for you and me. For Jesus said in Luke 22, "You are those who've continued with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom." Do you know that we have a world, friends, that's going to come after this world? That's what we live for as Christians. Our reward, our hearts, our treasure is found there. For mark this, Isaiah 40 says, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." Namely, his reward for those who forsake Christ to gain this world, the reward is vengeance, to repay every man for his deeds, and to cast into hell the rebels, the turncoats, and the traitors. But to you who have forsaken this world in order to gain Christ on the promise of God for a world to come, he will give you glory, honor, and peace. In fact, Jesus says, "Blessed is that servant whom I find so doing when I come. Truly I say to you, I will set you over all that I have." So the promise of all things to be given to you from God was not only for Jesus, but it is for us as well, as co-heirs of all things. So, this is great news. What will you choose? Which door? Door number one, door number two? A bird in the hand, or the two in the bush? Friends, I'm going for the two in the bush, because God's word never fails. And here the saying holds true, he who laughs last, laughs best. Those who laugh now will mourn then. Those who mourn now and serve Christ will laugh last and laugh best. For Psalm 16 says, "In your right hand, God, are pleasures forevermore, never to be given up, eternal joys, eternal glories." So let's set our hearts, therefore, on the worlds to come. Resist the devil and follow Christ. His deal, I'll tell you, friends, is far, far better. At his return, Matthew 25, the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come now, O blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In Jesus' name, amen.